They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
There's the deal on infrastructure and the deal on how to pay for it. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Almost 3 months ago, President Biden proposed a $2 trillion infrastructure plan. Now, there's a bipartisan agreement to spend about half that much on what the president calls physical infrastructure. That's roads, bridges, airports, etc. One of the biggest reasons it took so long to get a deal is because Democrats and Republicans couldn't agree on how to pay for it. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more on what they worked out. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So, Democrats wanted tax increases on corporations and the wealthy. Republicans wanted usage fees, like bumping up the gas tax. So, what is in the final deal?
Well, none of that. It's more of a hodgepodge of revenue sources, Sabri. And keep in mind, the number they need to get to is about $580 billion. That's how much of what's in the bipartisan deal is new spending, as opposed to what we'd normally spend on infrastructure. So here's some of where that money is coming from. Beefing up the IRS to go after tax dodgers. They think they'll net about $100 billion there. Another $100 billion would come from repurposing unused COVID relief funds. They think there's $70 billion in cracking down on unemployment insurance fraud. A lot of that is from criminals in other countries. They're filing false claims. So all of that, all those sources, gets us to about halfway to paying for the new spending. And there's a bunch of other sources they're looking to close the gap.
One of the things on the list is public-private partnerships. Can you remind us what those are, how those work?
So that idea of public-private partnerships has been kicked around a lot by state governors. We've seen it happen at the local level. A prominent example for us here is toll roads, right? I talked more about that part of the deal this morning with Joseph Kane of the Brookings Institution. He researches infrastructure issues.
There are models out there, and it's not just toll roads. I mean, there are public-private partnerships in water systems, for example, but they're fledgling. They're new. They're not really to the scale that we would be talking about, I think, in a recovery package like this, where we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars.
So Kane says, yes, private partnerships will likely be limited in use. He points out that 75% of infrastructure spending is actually at the state and local level. So he says, while private-public partnerships can have a role in updating our infrastructure, state and local governments will have to be involved too, Sabri.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 124 points. That's 0.4%. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ up 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury yield is inching up this morning. It's at 1.507%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The international divorce, known as Brexit, was officially wrapped up 6 months ago. That's when the transition period ended. There were final negotiations over how to coordinate all kinds of industries post-separation. Fishing was a big one, had to agree on how to split the fish. One thing that was not really talked about or negotiated, financial services and how to keep that industry operating smoothly after the UK left the EU. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is looking at how things are going and joins me now. Good morning to you in London.
Good morning, Sabri.
So you have a whole week of interviews starting Monday morning. What are some of the big questions you're going to be answering?
Well, the biggest one is, has Brexit been good or bad for business? Financial services, as you know, plays a very big role in this country's economy. It contributed nearly $200 billion to overall output in 2019, and it still supports more than a million jobs here. So the idea before Brexit was done was that the UK and the EU would agree so-called equivalence deals. And those would have essentially meant that cross-border transactions and trades could continue as they did when Britain was a European Union member. But that never happened. And though a few small deals have been done, in large part, the UK has basically been left to go it on its own. Why? Well, the London School of Economics professor Ian Begg has one theory.
The whole point of Britain leaving the single market and leaving the customs union was to have independence of its regulatory framework. The other side, the European side, said, well, no, if that's the way you want to play it, then we can't agree free access to your financial services exporters.
So has the fact that there have not been any deals on how to coordinate financial services, has that had an adverse effect on business then?
There has been a little bit of movement. It's estimated about 7,500 jobs in the sector have already shifted to the EU. And if you remember back in February, there was this big headline that Amsterdam stole London's coveted status as Europe's share trading hub. But the city has made up some of that loss. In February, Swiss stocks, so that includes heavyweights like Nestle, the chocolate maker, they began trading again in London after a brief hiatus in 2019. So there have been some subtle changes, but I think the most interesting part is, in the absence of the governments agreeing a path forward post-Brexit for this industry, industry players really huddled together and created their own roadmap for post-Brexit trading. Here's the head of securities trading at the London Stock Exchange, Dr. Robert Barnes.
We've really been working for the past 3 years with our community of asset managers and brokers to make sure that we'd be able to provide continuity of service. If you take a look at capital raising, we've had strong IPO activity through the first half of 2021. In fact, it's been the best start to a year since 2014, even post-Brexit.
So, Sabri, clearly there's a lot going on still, even 6 months after the transition period ended. Lots of questions still left to answer and lots for us to dive into next week.
Victoria, thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sabri.
Victoria Craig hosts the first cast of the Marketplace Morning Report, which broadcasts out of the BBC in London. You can catch it at 5:50 Eastern Time or in our podcast feed. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.